The Este's in Ferrara and Modena, the Montefeltro's in Urbino, all vied with each other as patrons of art and learning, delighting in their intellectual as well as their military prowess. Federigo da Montefeltro, for instance, turned his little hill town into a treasure house of Renaissance culture, having first fought his way to wealth and fame with his sword as a mercenary soldier. He employed painters, librarians, and musicians. He mastered mathematics and philosophy, and his pugnacious features make him among the most familiar of the Renaissance dukes. It was the court circle of Urbino, under his son Guido, that inspired Castiglione's text on the psychological and social ideals of humanism. And it was not only the northern city-states which were feeling the breath of intellectual change. The papal court in Rome employed humanist scholars, for the very good reason that they commanded the best Latin and the most elegant handwriting for the thousands of letters and legal documents which the papacy generated. When the papacy had recovered from the long years of schism and exile in Avignon, and from the challenges to its authority from the Concilium movement, the popes would turn their attention to the new intellectual fashions, for they too were rulers just as much as the Medici or the Visconti, and they too desired to display their wealth, their power, and their virtue. Eventually, even the popes called themselves humanists. Naples, too, long regarded as a kind of orphan in Italian culture, experienced a brief golden age in the 1450s under the rule of Alfonso of Aragon. It was during these years that Naples was home to one of the most important of all humanist scholars, the turbulent Lorenzo Valla, who never hesitated to use his learning to attack orthodoxy. Valla's most famous polemic was against the Donation of Constantine, the document supposedly written by the first Christian emperor in the 4th century AD, granting spiritual supremacy and great temporal power to the popes of Rome. Arguing from linguistic grounds, Valla showed convincingly that this document was a forgery from the Middle Ages. This was an interesting example of humanism coming into direct conflict with the power of the Catholic Church. Valla's patron, King Alfonso, happened to be at war with the papacy, and it was politically convenient to be able to undermine the Pope's claims to worldly power. But the Church generally could and did embrace humanism as an intellectual fashion. The whole basis of Savonarola's short-lived theocratic revolution in Florence was that the Church had become corrupted by the pagan humanism of the city. Savonarola desired to build a godly republic in the city, from which reform would spread throughout Italy. The issue of reform of the Church was one that loomed large in the Renaissance period. But when reform finally came, it was debatable whether it was from the humanists such as Erasmus or the anti-humanists like Savonarola and, of course, Luther. The abuses of the Church, the luxury in which its leaders lived, the power it exercised over a credulous people were seen as part of mankind's irrational folly, which was attacked by many Renaissance writers, from Erasmus to Rabelais, and which found its most memorable image in the German poem by Sebastian Brandt, The Ship of Fools. Valla's later career, incidentally, remained as controversial as his earlier. He was investigated by the Inquisition for his refusal to accept that the Apostles' Creed was actually written by the 12 Apostles, and he even had the temerity to criticize the Latin Bible on stylistic and literary grounds. This, then, was humanism, the intellectual fashion inspired by a return to the classical past, which led to a dynamic reappraisal of man's secular life, but which did not yet provoke outright conflict with the Catholic Church. This reappraisal would not, of course, remain confined to the intellectual sphere or to the pages of books, and it was its transfer to the visual realm that created what we now think of as the Renaissance. It was the image of man and the space within which man existed which were recreated by the painters and sculptors of the 15th century. They found their inspiration in the glorious images of the classical past, which were to be found throughout Italy, and which they now looked at with fresh eyes. There is a clear link between the humanist patrons, the councils or the princes of the North Italian cities, and the artists whom they commissioned. The link appears first in architecture, in the reordering of the public and private spaces in which Renaissance man desired to live, surrounded by a new style of building. Once again, that new style was seen first in Florence. In 1440, architects in France, England, and Germany were still dedicating churches in the High Gothic style, with their soaring naves, ornate vaults, and dim lighting. In that same year,